guy who challenges Moses, and he says, well, burn incense and let's let God decide, and earth swallows him up. You have this well-known family in a community that starts to push back against power structures, and they start to sell it, and then everybody starts joining their side, and they come up and they question Moses, which is questioning God. In this instance, we have the same type of thing. See, what we forget and what we just turn a blind eye to sometimes is, guys, if... Go ahead. Yeah, and along with that point, I don't think, truly, genuinely, I don't think that a lot of these offshoots that you have are, at least not a lot of the people who fall into them, are ill-willed. I think they're people with good will, but they're trying to say, hey, they're trying to redirect and say, hey, the Bible's old, we can do this, we can do that, we can do... Well, it's never about that, right? This is a book that was given to us however many years ago. We still have the same issues. If you don't believe that the Bible talks about most everything, you should read it. And it's not going to talk about cell phones, but it's going to talk about the sins that you can fall into on your cell phone. It's not going to talk about... So I do agree on that. And yes, we do have to get out of our own way. It's a us obstacle. Because inherently, if you are a... And I'm not saying I am naturally, but some people are, some people aren't. Inherently, if you are a good-willed, kind-hearted individual, it hurts to think that somebody that you know and love might not be saved. So we look on that and we think, oh, inherently, that's a good-willed, kind-hearted individual. Well, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, how good-willed and kind-hearted is to lead somebody down the wrong direction? See, we're always going to be in this battle with our humanity. It's not that goodwill and kindheartedness isn't good, but we take this goodwill and kindheartedness and we try to throw a blanket like an umbrella policy over people and try to make what they do okay, make what we do okay. We kind of try to have this little insurance thing, and we read the Bible to justify these sins that we've fallen into instead of saying, hey, out of goodwill and kind heart, I should love somebody enough to say, hey, I know a guy. That doesn't matter what you're struggling with. I know a guy that can help. hey, I know a guy that promises eternal life. That should be what is incited out of goodwill and kindheartedness. See, we get, it's a perspective thing. I've been dealing with a lot of perspectives this week. It's a perspective. And what I've realized this week at work is, man, not everybody, and they shouldn't, but not everybody's going to have an employer mindset, right? Not everybody, there's employees with employer mindsets that care about the business and that want to take care of the business and that are bought all in. But that's not, a lot of people are just there for themselves, right? And how much better does it feel for, and this is going to be, I know, probably incite a lot of arguments, but there's people that are going to argue the fact that most of the time when you're trying to throw an umbrella policy over a certain sin of somebody that you love and care about, it's selfish. What do I mean by that? You want to make yourself feel better. Because you want yourself to wholeheartedly believe that they're going to be okay. Instead of having the hard conversation. We are a society geared toward ease of life. My aunt, love her to death, she says, she promises and swears up and down she will never live more than 5 minutes away from a Walmart. And y'all are thinking, that's dumb, right? But she's used to that. She likes it. Well, she used to live in Tahoka, so she probably wasn't that close to a Walmart. And then she got close to one, and the ease of life, the standard of life, improved in her mindset. Nobody here wants to be 5 minutes away from a Walmart. But to her, that was an improvement of life. And so we chase these things that try to make us feel better. And I tell you what, the best conversations to have are probably the conversations you least want to have. That's something that I wholeheartedly believe. In the gym, probably the thing that's going to make you better is the thing you want to do the least. In sports, the thing that you suck at the most is the one you want to practice the least. Why? Because if you can throw the ball 70 yards, why wouldn't I just want to do that all day? Right? Because everybody's looking and you feel pretty good when you're hucking the ball down the field 70 yards, but then you try to make a 5-yard out pass and you suck at it. We chase these things that we're good at and that are easy, and what we, it's a perspective shift, and I know people aren't going to like that, but what we tend to do is out of selfishness, not care for other people. Because if we truly cared, what's our desire for their outcome? Heaven. And we're not the judge. See, that's what everyone, we're getting in some dangerous territory here, right? Everybody, when you make that statement, says, well, I'm not the judge. Have you ever had a conversation with people that say, well, I'm not the judge? No, you're not. But you are supposed to be a spiritual backboard for a lot of people. If you're doing something that's just wrong, and it explicitly says it biblically, and you feel like you have that stance, have a conversation. That's what we're supposed to be for each other. We're supposed to be that sounding board. We're never meant to make this walk alone and make our own opinions. This is something that's been accumulated and built on over time where, hey, if I say something incredibly unintelligent up here, I hope somebody out there calls me out. Because if my desire is to follow God, why wouldn't I want somebody's? When some of our employees say something to me that kind of hurts my feelings, but is probably a good thing. If my mindset is to make everybody else around me better, my mindset's to be successful as a corporation, am I just going to neglect their criticism? No. I'm supposed to take it in. I'm supposed to get better. I'm supposed to move on with life, but everybody out there is just getting our feelings hurt. And then we put up the walls of defense, and then nobody wants to hear anything from anybody. And where do we go? We go to our own little corners justifying our own sins or sins of people that are close around us instead of saying, hey, God, what? What do you say? Some things that I have heard over the past, I don't know, and my phone must hear me talking about stuff on Sunday morning and starts pulling all this stuff up. And I listen to these videos and I'm like, where are you getting your information? I just listened to a guy say that homosexuality is not listed in the Bible. Let's read our Bible first before we say something as idiotic as that, right? But people are buying into this. Why? Because they don't, you can't handle the truth, is where we're at. And this sounds off, but this is a story of you can't handle the truth. These people want something, want a leader. They want who to fight their battles? A king. Boy, if I was God and I just let him out of the wilderness and had him take over the promised land and I'm reading or listening to that, like, hey, I've been fighting all your battles. I destroyed the walls to Jericho. And to Jason's point, I love that Jason makes the perspective of putting ourselves in their shoes. We do this every day. We justify. So even though we can look back and say, I don't know about that, right? We do it every day. It doesn't matter what scale it's on. How many of y'all justify your own sins? How many of y'all have something that